we'll say a word of prayer and then we'll jump into the lesson on the day. Father Yahweh, we come to you again, presenting ourselves to you on another training school night, and we just seek for wisdom and understanding. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. We thank you for everything that you revealed to us, precept upon precept, line upon line, in these days that we live in, and that you're bringing us along slowly as our minds are capable of understanding the things that's necessary. And we bless you for that. And we just give you the honor and the glory in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen. All righty. What I want to deal with on tonight is something that we have covered for a few weeks now, on and off. We've kind of been jumping in and out of this subject, dealing with the true earth, and there are just some things that we have we've come into an understanding of, and these things that we're dealing with, it's been challenging. It's been challenging from this perspective. I mean, when you have to go down a path and teach something that is not, traditionally taught, then it can kind of label you in certain ways, and people can. Can often, for whatever reason or another, try to use that to discredit who you are. but I'm molding from the perspective of having a mindset that Yah has given me a mindset, and I've always had it as far back as I can remember. He's always given me a mindset that when I believe something, and I'm just saying overall, from an overall point of view, that when I believe something or see something a certain way, I'll stick to what I believe, and it don't matter how many people don't agree with what I see or believe. I've always been like that, even as a kid. I grew up with friends and things like that, and at one time or another, all of them maybe would drink, would get drunk. I would drink every now and then with them and stuff like that. But I was not really classified as a drinker. I had guys that I grew up with that, I would classify as drinkers because, every time the opportunity presented themselves, we were having fun, they wanted to associate drinking with it. My mind said I could have fun and I wouldn't necessarily have to drink. And then I had some that they would associate smoking marijuana even when I got in college. I mean, all of the guys that I pretty much hung around with in college, they smoked marijuana. I mean, I pretty much every last one of them. And so from that perspective, it was something that I just didn't want to do. I never have, although I drank, I never have smoked marijuana before. And it was just something that I just chose not to do. And because it was my conviction of something that I didn't want to do, it didn't matter how many of my friends did it. It didn't influence me. Yah put that there. And he put that there for such a time as this. He had to... he had to mold me to be that type of individual that would stand on what, you know, what I believe to be true. And I wasn't always right all the time, but if I believe that it was true, then I'm going to stick on what I believe until you convince me otherwise. That was just my mindset. And so, again, it's something that Yah has given me that has enabled me to step out, say certain things that preachers are not comfortable saying. Even if some may understand it, they won't say it because they have a reputation to uphold. And I'm just the opposite. I care less what a person thinks, you know, about me and different things like that. You know, I would prefer everybody have something good to say about me, but I'm just being honest. I care less. It's like water on a duck back when a person don't like me for whatever reason or other. I care less. And what I mean by care less, again, I would prefer, so I care from that standpoint. What I mean by care less is from a perspective of letting what they think about me have an effect on me. There are some people whose life is determined based upon what other people feel about them. And so their success or failure is based upon what other people think and different things like that. And so everybody hate them, and, you know, they feel like everybody hate them, then their mindset or mentality reflects that, you know. They're down and insecure and different things like that because they're like, you know, nobody liked me and stuff like that. My mindset is, you know, I was a kid, and I'm just explaining things with you to teach this lesson. I was a kid that would tell all my friends, y'all go play. Go on and play. I don't play by myself. I used to say that sometimes. And would send my friends off to play by themselves, and I'd be like, okay, when I feel like playing with y'all, then I'll come back around y'all, and then just leave me alone. And I would do that often. And so again, all of that was something that Yah put in my nature to be able to be willing, even in these days that we're living in, to stand bold and decree what He showed me, and I don't need no participation as far as agreeing with that, because once Yah showed me, I'm going to stick with it. And the same thing. Well, said all to say this. I mean, it's a blessing to see that I have a congregation who is willing to trust what Yah has given me to give to you. You know, I've had a lot of people that have been a part of this ministry. But one of the things, or one of the reasons, especially all of you who've been with me a good number of years to see this take place, one of the things that has caused a lot of people to leave this ministry is because they couldn't handle things that I laid out. It made them uncomfortable because, you know, I was always stretching them and always dealing with things in a way to where it challenged them to grow. And if a person just wanted to show up just to say, I'm just coming to church, then, you know, those people moved on for whatever reason or another. And it's even from the same perspective, and I'll use my sister, Tanya, you know, she just came up in my spirit, so I'll use you for an example. She would tell you, I kicked out of the church before. I told her to go on, kicked out of a board meeting that I was at. She said, three. You know, kicked out of a board member I had, a board meeting that I had. You know, we had an encounter before the meeting, and when we came in, I addressed the board and told her to dismiss herself. Am I right about it? And she, you know, she was upset and mad about it and feelings hurt about it and different things like that. But it was like water on the duck back to me because she's my sister still. And I still loved her, but at the same time, you know, there was certain things that happened that, you know, it just wasn't going to happen when it came down to ministry. I wasn't going to tolerate when it came down to ministry. But at the same time, I use her as an example because it was a testimony. Her being here today is a testimony that she knows that she's in the right place. And even I couldn't run off. You know, even I couldn't run off because she knew where she was supposed to be, and as a result of that, you know, she always stuck in there regardless of what happened, regardless of how mad I made her, and I'll be honest, I've probably been hard on her than pretty much anybody in ministry that's been a part of the ministry. I mean, I've said some crazy stuff to her over the years. And even to the point where my nephew, you know, was murdered, her son was murdered, and she came in the church service, and I was like, okay, you know, I know what's going on. We both feeling the same way, but get yourself together like I got myself together. And I know hers was deeper because it was her son. But at the same time, the same level of love was there, but hers was just deeper to a certain perspective because it was a son. But at the same time, that would have come across as harsh to a lot of other people. But I was saying that because I know she needed to pick up. She needed to pick up. We ain't going to never forget it, but I know she needed to pick up and move forward. It was going to destroy her. She needed to be a testimony for other people who had gone through or maybe go through with, you know, what she went through. And so I was like, okay, you got to get together, okay? And so, and I mean, she's done well, you know. Everybody have any ups and downs, you know. Same with me, even every time, sometimes I have my ups and downs. But at the same time, I know that, you know, what I've been called to do and what we've all been called to do. So, you know, saying all that full circle, be honest, I've been kind of hard on everybody one fast or another that's been close enough to deal with me on that. Fast, you know. Alan can tell you about a lot of stories. I pull him over the corner and say, look at him. You know, he can tell you those things. And you know, just like a son, he'd drop his head and be like, okay, well, what? You know, and he pays attention and things like that. But he tell you, I come at him. You know, I come at him. And if I don't like something, I let him know right up. I don't like it. And, you know, and so I just said all that to say this, you know. You know, I commend you guys for trusting what God is doing with the ministry, what He's doing with me, to, you know, to be there, to stand with me as a ministry and say, you know, we support our pastor in how God is dealing with him and how He's revealing these things to us. He's using the scripture to do it, and we support him. And at the same time, I like saying this because it keeps me balanced. If there's anything that needs to be fixed, when y'all reveal up the precept enough, I don't mind coming back to y'all. That one's right back there. You know, we need to make this a little bit more clear and things like that. You know, because we're all growing. And I'm very secure from a perspective of admitting that I could be off on some things and have enough security in my position to know that just because I may be off in some areas doesn't mean I ain't called to be what I am. And so I just say all that from a perspective of balance that keeps me balanced, and it keeps me very comfortable in being what He's shown me to be. Okay. Now, from that perspective, again, I want to talk about the true earth again. This is kind of like a part two. It's kind of like a part two from some other things that we've dealt with, although I think it's a part three, really, but I just made it a part two when I did on Facebook because I just clumped it all together. I dumped him a Facebook post so doggone long, I think it was the longest one I ever put, but I was like, I want to get it out there and I want to deal with it, but y'all still dealing with me on it, and so I want to discuss that with you guys tonight because I want you to be clear. And I want you to be confident, understanding that this earth is flat. What I mean by flat, you know there are mountains here, but I'm talking about when you look at the overall makeup of the earth, it is flat as a pancake, just like the scripture reveals. And so I want to go and look at some things that we've just kind of discussed, and then we'll just move forward. Now, in this initial lesson, we talked about how there is water above the firmament, the visible arc of the sky, and then also water below it as far as the sea is concerned. And there are some things that I'm just going to throw out there, but then I'm not going to go into detail on it because I don't know. But I'm just going to say some things. When you look at the visible arc of the sky, by the way, there's a video that I just kind of sent. I posted on Facebook of The Simpsons. The Simpsons was a cartoon series where a lot of stuff they told people before it happened. And they revealed a lot of truth behind some things. It's just that people looked at it from a cartoon perspective, and they thought, oh, this is just the goofy Simpsons. A lot of things was subliminal messages that they were revealing that had truth associated with it. They showed a lot of things. What is the guy that played, what is it, Mark and Mindy, what is his name? Robin Williams. They showed in an episode him hanging himself. And he come up years later and did it, or at least they claim he did it. They also showed 9/11 plane hitting the tower way before that happened. And so they show a lot of things because whoever was doing those Simpsons cartoon stories had inside information and was revealing things in those cartoons before they was actually happening. And you can go look at a lot of those cartoons. See, if you think of kids, just go on YouTube and just pull up the Simpsons and just start watching some of those cartoon series. You know, I thought country, so I said cartoon series and things like that. And you start to see that, okay, there are a lot of things that they say that has happened. And they were saying it before these things happened. Well, this particular series that I put up a clip on is about 17 seconds. It shows a baseball game where this guy hits the baseball and it goes up, it hits the sky, and the sky breaks like glass. And then the commentator said in a nutshell, and he broke the glass ceiling, and now the ocean has fallen inside the stadium. Now, why would a Simpson movie make up something like that unless they quoting stuff because there's somebody to understand how this thing really is from a biblical perspective? And so they'll say things to reveal a certain truth to us, but we'll laugh. In other words, they'll show you stuff that is the truth in order for you to write it off that is a lie because this is the cartoon they're making a joke about. And we have to learn how to see the things that's being revealed to us. They put a lot of things right in front of our faces, a lot of movies they make, a whole lot of things they do to confirm the information that I'm telling you. Now, with that understanding, I fully understand that pyramid symbol on the dollar bill now. You look at that pyramid symbol on the dollar bill, that pyramid is inside the flat earth. And that all seeing eyes that you see that they normally term and represent Illuminati, it may have different symbols of representation, but that eye is wrapped through that eye or that little square with the eye in the center of it is in front of the sun. And if you take and move that pyramid out of the way, you'll see that it's a flat earth with the ocean behind it. Because they even put it on the dollar bill, that same symbol that is on the United Nations symbol, they just do it in a different way to reveal to us all the perspective as far as the earth is concerned, that it really is flat. It is not round or sphere like we've been taught all these years. Now you ask yourself now, if it was really round or a sphere like they say that it is, why didn't they only show you round earth pictures? If it's really round and I have this scientific evidence to prove it, I'm going to do everything I can to shut up people who saying that it's flat. But if I got a whole lot to lie to you, I'm gonna just say it to you and expect you to believe it without showing you any type of evidence. And that's what has happened as far as this system is concerned. We have just been told that the earth is round without giving any detailed information to confirm that it's round. We just tell you that it sits on the axis and it spins around the sun, and all of it moving all these miles or trillion of miles around per second, however they do it, and it's just the sun and all of them just going out through just space and just spinning all around the sun. And we accept it. All because somebody said it. But then we sit down and we look at precept upon precept, line upon line, scripture after scripture verse to show us without a doubt that the earth is flat, just like y'all made it. And yet people out there will still say, no, but it's round. No, Mars is out there. Venus is out there. All of those places are out there. Well, have you ever seen it? Crickets. I don't care what you say. It's out there, though. Satan, biggest tool is deception. And we have gotten to the point to where, as a society, we will believe what we don't see or believe what we're told, and totally disregard stuff that we're looking at right with our own visible eyes. We'll look at it with our visible eyes and we'll still say it can't be that way. All because there are a few who in some position of authority will tell us that it's not the way we see it. Well, I'm awakened, so I just can't operate that way. Okay. Now, as we deal with truth, we'll start out in Psalms 19 like what we did before, and I want to use these verse 1 through 6 just to kind of explain some things from that perspective. And so we'll start there, and we'll get a real good understanding of it. Okay, we'll start at Psalms. Psalms 19, verse 1. Okay. Now, Psalms 19, verse 1, and I'll just read verse 1 through 6. It says, the heavens. We understand that the heavens, when you look at the heavens, we do see it as a visible arc of the sky, but then at the same time, it's talking about the firmament also in this passage. And so, in looking up the Hebrew meaning of the word heavens is the abode of the stars. It's the firmament, but it's all inclusive, because the firmament is its own entity. And when you look at the heavens, plural, is including, it's all inclusive. It's everything, the stars, the firmament, and everything. And so the scripture just kind of breaks it down, and so that's why I'm giving the definitions this way. The heavens, abode of the stars, declare the glory. Glory is splendor, honor. Okay, the heavens, abode of the stars, declare the glory, splendor, honor of Yah. And the firmament, which is the visible arc of the sky, remember the rainbow. You know, you would get them, they would sit there and say, well, okay, the rainbow is round because the earth is round. Well, why does the rainbow come down to the ground? Why does it come down to the ground if it's just going in the facet of the earth? Why we can't see the if it's just going from the facet of the earth, we shouldn't be able to see the end of it. You know, it goes all in the ground. We look up, it goes all in the ground because it's in the lining of that firmament. Well, if the earth was just round and the heavens were round too, you see what I'm saying? If you got a round sphere as the earth, like what they show us, then the heavens would have to be round the same way. So not only do you have a round earth, but everything has to be round just like the earth. The sky has to be round. You know, everything has to be round. So the sun would have to go around this round earth, the moon around this round earth, and the sky would have to wrap around this round earth. okay? And so from that perspective, when you look at it, again, the rainbow is arch just like the sky, because it's showing you that it is connected to that arch in the sky. So you see it come down, and you can see that there's an end to it as far as the ground itself is concerned, because Yah is revealing to us a certain truth when it even comes down to the rainbow. Now, again, it says, the heavens, the bow of the stars, declare the glory, splendor, honor of Yah, and the firmament, visible arch of the sky, showeth his handiwork, his labor, understanding, deed, day and night uttering speech. In other words, he's breaking things down to us. Day and night uttering speech. Day and night uttering the command of Yah. Let there be, you know, we look at the time frame and the sun is just about down and stuff like that. And so we broke it down how day has its own separate light and different things like that, you know, based upon how Yah created it. And so so it says day unto day uttering speech. That's why he's breaking it down, because if light just came from the sun, he wouldn't mention day like that. He's showing day has a command. Day all by itself has a command. Okay, and night, that's why it says that day unto day uttering speech, command. Night unto night showeth knowledge, understanding. Night showeth understanding, the wisdom of Yah. There is no speech nor language where there, the heavens, the firmament, day and night, where their voice is not heard. You can look anywhere on the planet, day will speak to mankind to show the honor of Yah. Night will, the firmament will, the heaven will, all of them testify to everything that exists on the planet that there is a one true Yah. But yet scientists will try to say we come from a Big Bang theory to try to make it appear like we're just nothing that just happened to become something. We have no purpose. We just here all because, you know, these events took place and just happenstance. We evolved from this Big Bang theory. But yet when you look at things from the perspective of Yah, it shows the honor and glory of Yah, because it shows that Yah has purpose everything. Day has purpose. Night has purpose. The visible arch of the sky has purpose, and the stars have purpose. Everything has purpose. Nothing is happenstance. It shows his wisdom. It shows his glory. It shows the splendor of Yah as being God all by himself. And so it amazes me that you have Christians or those who follow the Mashiach or those who follow the Most High Yah who can look at this information and still neglect it. And so I stand with boldness, and I say this: those who neglect the word of Yah has neglected Yah. And then now things come into play from the perspective of the Savior. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. If we deny the truth, the written word of Yah, it is the same as denying the Most High Yah. That's the issue with Christianity, because Christianity will take and try to incorporate evolution in the scripture. They will try to find a place to put dinosaurs. They will tell you dinosaurs exist between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. They will tell you there was a world that was in between there. Well, my perspective is this. I'm not trying to figure out what's between there if y'all are not telling us what's between there. I don't add to, or I don't take away. Somebody may say, well, I like how Alan put it, you know, somebody may say, well, okay, well, where did the devil come from? I don't know. Just like Alan said, maybe he was created to be a tool like that. I don't know. But at the same time, I know there are things that say specific things in Ezekiel 28, but then it may not necessarily say what we've interpreted as being now, because, you know, we see things from a different perspective when we learn how to see through the eyes of Yah. So a whole lot of stuff I'm careful about saying nowadays, since I've come into an understanding of certain things. Okay? So I'm not going to preach anything or teach anything that I can't back up with the scripture. But if I can back it up with the scripture, I'm going to preach it from the housetop. Okay. So as we look at these scriptures now, it says day unto day utter speech, command, and night unto night short knowledge, understanding, wisdom. There is no speech nor language, whether there, heavens, firmament, day and night. Voice is not heard. If it's woman, it's not heard. It's a line which is a chord. So it lets us know that the heavens have a line, a chord. The firmament has a chord. Day and night has a chord. So it says their line, their chord is going out through all the earth. Their chord, when you start looking at line, you know, we're going to think about line, precept upon precept, line upon line, command, connecting. In other words, when we look at line, there's a connection. Their connection now is going throughout all the earth. You can look throughout the whole earth and you can see their connection. Their chord now is going out throughout all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. The world is nothing but the earth. So it's one and the same now, okay? In them now. In them, I put the heavens in the firmament, but at the same time, when you start dealing with all of this, you really understand you really understand the totality of how this is working, but I'll just put the heavens and the earth, or heaven and firmament, that is. In them, heavens and firmament, he has set a tabernacle. Tabernacle is a home. He has set a tabernacle, a home, a tent, a covering for the sun. So it lets me know, this is another scripture that lets us know without a doubt that the visible art of the sky and the abode of the stars, all of that is over the sun. It is a covering for the sun. If I put on a hat, that is a covering for my head. That means my head is underneath the hat. Okay? If you're walking outside, if it's raining, you walk outside and you open an umbrella, then open an umbrella and put it over your head, then that umbrella now is the canopy for your head. You can't now turn around and say, well, because I feel like I want to change how things work. I know, regardless of what it looks like, your head is actually over the umbrella. Here, my brother-in-law have on a hat. You know, he has on a hat, but yet, because I choose to tell everybody, no, his head is over the hat. His head is over the hat. Everybody's looking at me, wait a minute, the hat is on his head. Since the hat is on his head, how can his head be over the hat when the hat is the canopy for his head? Well, that's what we're being told. The Bible is telling us that the visible arch of the sky and the abode of the stars is the covering of the sun, but yet we said the sun is millions of miles away, and you got all these galaxies and all these things hanging out there, and it's like, okay, well, how can you make that determination just based upon the desire just to choose that is that way? You don't have no proof. But here we have a creator who's laying it out, how he created everything that exists, and we have mankind who want to dispute it. And I like what Yah told Job when Job was trying to reckon and dispute with Yah. Yah said, boy, what were you when I created? So he started naming things out in Job. Chapter 38, somewhere up in there. He started naming things out. Boy, where were you when I created this? Stand up like a man and tell me, since you know so much. When he finished with Joe grabbed his mouth and basically said, oh, man, I realize that I'm paraphrasing, I realize that I have stepped in a lane and I'm not qualified to be discussing the subject. Now, as we look at this again, It says their line chord is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, in the heavens and the firmament, he has set a tabernacle, a covering for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His now, his going forth, the son egress from an enclosed place. So we see it coming up in the east, coming up in the east and going down in the west. We're seeing the sun now come out. When we get up in the morning and see it rising from the east, then we're seeing the sun as the scripture letting us know he's coming out of his covering. The sun is coming out of his covering. Okay, so person may say, well, okay, if the earth is flat, then where is the sun going? Is it going down and going to the bottom? The Bible says, it's letting us know the sun, as it comes up, it is like to all those who see it come up, it is like it is coming out, a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And when you see it going down, it's like the bridegroom going back in his chamber. Obviously, if he's coming out of his chamber, when you see it rising, he has to be going in the chamber when you see the sun going down. Now, I'm not going to try to figure out what sun going from that point on, because when you look at the scripture, it is from a perspective of the visible eye, and that sun is circling just like the flat earth is. It's circling around the flat earth. So at that particular time, when I'm looking at it from the east to the west, it is circling from the east to the west. Everything circles from the east to the west. Everything circles from the east to the west. And so when you look at the sun comes up and it's coming right at us, and it just goes from the east to the west. That's how it revolves. And so just because we don't see it anymore, the scripture just said, for your perspective, it just went back in its chamber. From your perspective, when you see it, just say it's coming out of the chamber. Okay? Now, again, it says, for the son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race, his the son going forth in egress from an enclosed place is from in. When you look at in, it lets you know there's an in. That son has a fixed course. It can't go outside those boundaries. Okay, the sun, it egresses from an abode, from an enclosed place. It's from in. Born in is born a brink up to heaven. So when you look out there at the heaven, you have to understand that the sun's in, because it is inside it. It has an in. It's not that sun ain't going all out through space like that, because the Bible is saying it has an in, and that in is heaven itself, is that visible arc of the sky. It's not going outside it. The visible arc of the sky has water that's over it. It cannot go outside it. Now, we're going to take a quick detour, and we're going to come right back, because I want to show you, based upon Genesis, that water is there, it was created to be there. It still is there to this very day. Mankind has never gotten off planet Earth. What I mean by gotten off planet Earth, I'm talking about out in space, because they can't get past that visible arc of the sky. They cannot get past that dome that Yah created, because there's water up there. They can't get past it. Man has never been to the moon. Can't get past it. Okay? Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 7, I just want to show you this. Just trying to see which verse to start at. Okay, Genesis chapter 7, we'll start at verse 10. Genesis 7, verse 10 says, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's flood, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So what did the Bible say in Genesis chapter 1? It says that he divided the waters from above the firmament, from the waters that were below the firmament, the waters of the sky. Then he said, the waters that were below the firmament, he gathered it together in one place and called it sea. Okay? Now, when you look at verse 11, and it says the fountains of the great deep were broken up, that lets us know that not only did water come up from the ground, it shows us in a nutshell that water came from the ground itself. It didn't come up from the sea. Okay? Because when you get so far down, as far as land is concerned, you have water underneath. That's why some places you can dig, in the earth. You start digging so far, you start hitting water. That's the deep that came up in Noah's flood. So you had water that was coming up from the earth itself, from the fountains of the deep. Then as you look at the scripture, it says, and the windows of heaven were open. Well, it had never rained until that point. So this verse is also explaining how it rained. So you would get them to say in a nutshell, well, rain comes from clouds and all these different things. When you start looking at things from the deep perspective of what the scripture reveals, I'll just say in a nutshell, anytime you start seeing water come out of the heavens, it's because the windows of heavens are open. You can go read one scripture after another that talks about Yah opening up the windows of heaven. What do you think Malachi is about? Go to Malachi chapter 3. We'll come back to Genesis chapter 7. I'll just show you in scripture. When people talk about the tithe, when you look at Malachi 3 and then you get to verse 10, Malachi 3 verse 10, and I'm just showing you how to understand these scriptures. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse. We're not concentrating on tithe. We concentrate on the one. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. What is meat? Meat is produce. It's never money. So when a preacher tell you that tithe is money, they lying. I used to lie because I didn't know no better. Some of them are lying now because, you know, they still don't know no better, just like I used to. But some of them are lying just because they want money. They know the truth, but they just want to lie. It's either lie. They told a lie so long, they don't want to reverse it and tell people the truth. So when you look at tithes now, you got to focus on the truth in order to understand the next portion of the verse that we get to. So when you look at Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring y'all the tithes in the storehouse so that there be meat. The Hebrew word for meat is produce, food. That's the Hebrew definition of the word meat. So when you say tithe, it's talking about produce, it's talking about food. It is not talking about cash money. Now, when you read the rest of it, you understand why it says produce. Bring y'all tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me not herewith, said Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. If we understand that the tithe is produce, then we understand that the windows of heaven that poured out is not money. Because when we operate in ignorance, and you know, I've taught the ignorance too, so that's why I like to say we, because it keeps us balanced. When we operate in ignorance now and think the tithe is actually money, we think the windows, that God has opened up the windows of heaven pouring money out. Well, y'all don't have no money in heaven. Money is not even necessary in heaven. Money is not necessary in the heavens. No one will ever see money falling out of the heavens from Yah. But I can tell you it will fall so that it can bless the meat. Verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in mine house. When you bring the food in mine house and prove me not, it will put me to the test. Bring the food and feed my people who have need. Put me to the test, and when you do, I'll make sure you always have plenty of food. Why? Because rain waters produce at the windows of heaven. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be produce, meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, let it rain, pour you out the blessing. So the blessing is the rain that comes from the heaven. Why is that water sitting up there? It is the heaven by which Yah releases water down on the earth. So we don't ever have to get concerned about water supply, because if mankind start messing with the water, then Yah know how to open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing of rain and water. Now you know why it's raining so much now. Y'all like, y'all ain't going to take this water. I'll rain down water from heaven to meet the needs of my people. Let them control the water supply. I got a water supply that can open up from a window. And it's nice and fresh, and ain't nothing tainted about it. That's just good old water. So now you don't let them deceive you when they try to say, when the water is falling out of heaven, you don't want to drink that because it's picking up all the radiations and all the pollutions in the sky. And so when it comes down and you take that water and you drink it, it could have a lot of stuff in it. Trust me, that water is pure when it comes down. Maybe some stuff going on in this earth, but y'all can send enough down to get everything out of the atmosphere so we can have nice, clean drinking water. So when you look at now, the tithe now, it is produce, it is meat. And Yah said, when you do that, as the people Israel, I will always send you rain to water your produce so that you can always have a tithe to bring to feed the need, to meet the needs of the people. The windows of heaven is rain. That is the blessing of the tithe. The blessing of the tithe is he will always rain down. He will always open the window and rain, always open the window and allow rain to water the crop so that it can always yield a great harvest so that you can take the tenth and give it to the people in the assembly, in his storehouse. Now, you can check this out. Anytime our nation has been disobedient, what happened? Drought. We died in I think, 3 or 4 ways. Famine, pestilence, disease, and the sword. The 4 ways by which we died. So whenever it was famine, it was because there was no rain to water the produce. Yah is the source by which rain comes from. And the firmament that has the water that he separated that is above it is the method by which rain comes down. Yeah, it may be clouds there. Huh. And it may appear like the rain is coming through the clouds, but based upon the scripture, Yah opens the windows of heaven and allows the blessing to come down. The clouds may be just a cover, so you can't tell that the window is open. I don't know. Okay, now as we see that now and understand it, we go back to Genesis 7 and then we'll finish up here. Genesis 7 verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up. He broke up the fountains of the deep, and the windows of heaven were opened. So during Noah's flood, it rained and water came up from the earth. That's why the whole earth was flooded. So you would get some say, no, the whole earth wasn't flooded. The whole earth was flooded because it's flat. And when he released the fountains of the deep, it covered the whole earth. There was not one piece of dry ground shown in the world in Noah's flood. All mankind died except for Noah and his sons and their wives. All mankind and every living creature died except for those that obviously swim in the water. All right, now, with that understanding, now let's go back and finish up now. Okay, now, as it says now, again, in them, the heavens, the firmament, have he set a tabernacle. We're back in Psalms 19. I might have said Isaiah, I can't remember, but it's Psalms 19. It says, again, in them, heavens and firmament, he has set a tabernacle home covering for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His the sun, goeth forth in egress from an enclosed place, is from the end, border, brink of the heaven, and the sun circuit the course unto the end of it. The course of the sun is to the end of the firmament. It don't go outside the visible arch of the sky. I'm talking about visible arch of the sky. You see, the sun doesn't go beyond it. The sun doesn't go beyond what you can see with your physical eyes. The sun has a course, and it can't go outside the course of your visible eye. What I mean by that, anywhere on the planet where the sun is out, somebody can see it. If it's too cloudy, all you have to do is get in the plane, go beyond the cloud, that sun is sitting right there. It cannot get outside the boundaries of the visible arch of the sky. Because that's the course by which Yah decreed that it had to stay within those bounds. Okay? Now, then it says, again, it is from the end, border, brink of the heaven, and his, the sun, circuit, which is the course, unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There is nothing hid from the heat of the sun, because the sun travels around the visible arch of the sky into the ends of the earth. Antarctica, which is ice, I kid you not, if you, anywhere on this planet, if you travel south, anywhere on the planet, if you travel south, you will run into Antarctica because it's wrapped around the whole flat earth. So anyone in any direction on this planet, if they travel south, they will hit the Antarctica. Okay. Now, as we move on here, I'm just explaining that just in a simple term. Simply speaking, the abode of the stars declare the splendor of Yah, and the visible arch of the sky shows his labor. Day after day is sent forth as commanded, and night reveals his wisdom. There is no language or matter where the abode of the stars, visible arch of the sky, day and night are not witnessed, because their cord covers all the earth and their conversation to the end of the world. The abode of the stars, visible arch of the sky, day and night, has Yah set a covering for the sun, which as the bridegroom coming out of his canopy. When you look at a canopy is a flat covering that's held up by four poles. Bridegroom will come out of that canopy. It is letting us know that the sun has a canopy over it like that, a cover. Okay. Now, the abode of the stars, visible arch of the sky, day and night, has Yah set a covering for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his canopy, and as a warrior to run a race. The sun egress from an enclosed place, from the border of the abode of the stars, and the sun's course is to the coast of heaven, and nothing hides from its heat. That's basically what they're saying. And so I make this statement now. I've always wondered how on earth a fear round planet would allow all men, okay, all men to see the return of Yahushua. How can everybody see our Savior return if the world is round? It goes against the scripture. Okay, how can they see it now? Now, here's what the scripture said. So let me just steal some things before I get there, and then we'll go ahead and close. Then I said, truthfully speaking, we have been taught differently about the heavens and the earth than what the Bible reveals. We've been taught differently. We got to come to that conclusion as the saints of the Most High and realize we've been duped. And who we going to believe? Okay. Truthfully speaking, we have been taught differently about the heavens and the earth than what the Bible reveals. For instance, we believe that the heavens are vast regions of space, galaxies, and the earth is a rotating sphere, round, but the Bible is clear about the heavens, the visible arch of the sky, having borders and coasts to the end of the earth, flat, and is heated by the sun. Here's the proof now. Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30 says this: immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darker, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall, here it is now, all. When the Bible said all, we can't turn around there and try to say, well, that's just only some of them. The Bible don't really mean all. The Bible means exactly what it says. It says, then every person on planet Earth will see his return. How can you do that with a flat Earth? I mean, with a round Earth. If you have someone who's on this end and Christ returned from this side of the heavens, then how somebody on the bottom part of the earth is going to be able to see it? Or at the angle part, how somebody going to be able to see him that's on this part right here? How somebody going to see him here if he's coming this way? It's flat. And it's flat because the scripture is revealing that when everyone look up at the same time, just like no matter where you are on earth, you can look straight up and see the North Star. I don't care where you are. That baby is stationary, and it is set, and all the other stars revolve around it. You might as well call it the North Pole. It is the pole by which, just picture the earth or the visible arch of the sky being like a chandelier that's coming down to the earth. All the stars are going around. Hey, I've been to a club and saw how that ball light spin around. You see all the lights just hitting all the walls, you know, the glitter part hitting all the walls around the club. You know, you've been to the club like that. Well, when you look at the way that y'all created this planet, you can see the North Star that is the center of the universe. What I mean by the universe, the earth. The North Star is the center of the earth. That's why you can look up and see it no matter where you are, because it's in the exact same place no matter where a person is on the planet. North. You look straight up and see it. Or northward. And see it. What all the other stars are moving. The same way the sun is. East and west. They're moving. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you now can see, as the scripture is revealing to us, that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, where? In the visible arch of the sky. In the sky. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, not some of them, everybody going to mourn. Now look at this stage. Y'all said, I'm going to set up a stage for my son to return. I'm going to make everything completely dark. The sun is not going to give his light. The moon is not going to give his light. The stars are going to fall from heaven. All of the elements up there are going to be shaken, and it's going to be completely dark. Now can you imagine how it's going to feel when there's no light. We're not going to have light, street light. We're not going to have nothing because it's going to be complete darkness. Everybody, what happened when it's complete dark? Everybody sit down somewhere. Oh, child, you want to sell everybody down? Make it dark. But can't nobody see nothing. Jokers get to moving carefully. Y'all is going to sit up the stage. Well, when the Savior comes, it is going to be complete darkness all over the world. Why? Because the sun, the moon, and the stars all have their course that extends out to the end of the earth. None of them goes outside the visible arch of the sky. It has its boundaries. But when it stops, it's going to be complete darkness all over the world. And guess who's going to pop through them clouds bright and the scripture now says, all of the earth, all the tribes of the earth, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see with their eyes open. Everybody's going to see it. Not one person on the planet earth that's living during this time is going to miss this year. Everybody's going to see it. All the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The scripture talks about him destroying the foul king and his army with the brightness of his coming. So it's not going to be no little dark scene when he show up. When he show up, it's going to be brightness. You hadn't seen light until you see him pop through them clouds and you see everything light up. That's what all mankind going to see. Not one going to miss the event. I used to always think because I had the perspective of the earth being round that when he comes, not everybody going to see him. Oh, yes, everybody going to see him, just like the scripture said it is, because the earth is flat enough for everybody to see him. Revelation 1, verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Everybody is going to see the return of the Messiah. Everybody. It's going to be a glorious day for the nation of Israel, too. Because the scripture points out in Michael that we're going to be a nation of people that in all the places where we've been captive, the scripture says we're going to be like lions in the midst of sheep when the day comes. Can you imagine a nation of people who is in fear for their life is going to turn around and become the lion to every nation? And every nation is going to appear to them as sheep. Let me make it plain. Nation of Israel is going to be kicking some rear end during this time, bro. Micah chapter 4 said we will be like lions among sheep. And we will devour our enemies. The nation of Israel will be the only people that will fight with the Messiah when he returns to build those armies. Matter of fact, the book of Micah also revealed, and I'll discuss these things later, the book of Micah also revealed that there are going to be 15 leaders that Yah's going to raise. He's going to raise up 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. That's going to take the battle to the beast and his army. It's going to be 15 notable men, 7 of them are going to be shepherds, and 8 of them are going to be principal men that's going to rise up and lead the armies of Israel in the battle against this beast in the last day. And we're going to be invincible as a nation. They're not going to even be able to kill us. All right? We all will see him coming. There's just one proof after another that the earth is flat, just like the scripture says it, and I'm not gonna be intimidated by whatever system or whatever is placed to try to keep the lie going. We understand how this earth is made. The scripture reveals to us time and time again how it's made, and we're just going to get prepared for the day when he returns. And I'm saying that for a reason. He's revealing this information to us because we have to understand how things work in order to be prepared for his coming. The truth has to come out. My whole perspective has changed now since I understand how the earth is really made. I know how to move in it now. When you don't understand the truth about it, then you can't use it to your advantage. But when you understand the truth about how it's really made, then you can use it as an advantage. When you understand the truth that there is water always above the firmament, I don't have to now get concerned when there's a drought. I know where the water is. If the water's not down here, if it's dried up down here on earth, I know where plenty of it is. So our father Moses, you know, he got it out of a rock, but we got a revelation. We know where it is. And so we don't have to ever be concerned about him meeting our needs in any of those areas now. Okay? Yes,
is that with the ocean of water under the the fountains of the deep?
Exactly, because we have discussed before that you know whatever you would call them, people that are saying that there's an ocean of water underneath the desert. They said the desert is an ocean of water under the desert. That water is waiting on the nation of Israel to get back in that land because the springs are going to start springing up. It's going to flow down into the Salt Sea. That's going to live again.
The Dead Sea
is going to live again. And so all that's because that water is going to come up from the deep. I was watching a video not too long ago where there is this creek. They was filming it. All of a sudden, you could hear a noise, and just gallons and gallons of water was just coming out of the mountain and going down in this big deep hole and filled all that area up. And there's water flowing there. And it said it's been, I think, hundreds of years since water has come down through there and filled that up again. Y'all getting ready for the people to come home. And this is what I was going to say, and then I'm going to let you guys go. You know, sometimes you will get these different scientists and things like that who will say there are certain sea animals like whales and stuff like that, they can't determine where they be going. They can't determine where they be going. You just never know how this thing may be as far as the waters are concerned. You never know how deep, how these things go, and these type of animals are able to go to those depths and different things like that. Matter of fact, there was one video that I was watching where you have scientists who are saying that there appears to be lakes in the ocean. Now think about that. And matter of fact, I watched one video of it. A lake in the ocean. There are lakes in the ocean. Water in the ocean. But then the man said, he said, you can see the ripples coming. He said, you can see ripples in the ocean. Another separate set of water that's rippling like waves in the ocean. You can actually see lakes inside the ocean. Imagine that. How can you see water inside water? And you can see it's two different distinctive waters. But then the man said this. He said, but the thing about it, he said, when we was in this machine, we decided that we was going to go down off in one of those lakes. I'm watching it. He said, we decided we was going to go down in one of those lakes. He said, when we went to go down off in that lake, we bounced off of it. He said, we tried to go down again. We bounced off of it. He said, it looked like a lake, but it was something dense that we couldn't go down off in it. We kept bouncing off of it. So every time we go down with that machine, it would bounce like it was something we was hitting that would not allow us to go down into what looked like a lake in the ocean. I said, yeah, you hit the bottom of that firmament. I mean, you hit the bottom of the outer firmament, for lack of a better way to explain it. You hit the bottom of that dome. I'll say it that way. Ain't no way out up, or ain't no way out down. Then there are reports that show that when they went and visited Antarctica back in the 40s, that they were having plane crashes. They said because planes were flying and kept looking like they kept hitting some invisible force field. They were hitting that invisible arc of the sky in Antarctica. So that's why they came back. They were having too many plane crashes and stuff like that. They just flying all of a sudden out of nowhere, but they were calling it force field. We kept hitting the force field. But you're hitting that invisible arc of the sky. He was at the end of the earth. And he worked their way on the other side of Antarctica and was hitting the invisible arc of the sky. Plane was crashing. They left Antarctica, and that's why they signed a treaty where can't nobody go there now. They know it's there. All right, I've been here long enough. You had anything else? Okay, let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. And we thank you for just another fast of understanding. We ask you just to continue to reveal to us the truth. And we look forward to even more information so that we can be prepared and ready for the day when our Mashiach returns to gather us as a nation. We bless you in his wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right. Y'all remember worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.